live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Oh, amen, man. I tell you what, this day is amazing me already. I love serving God. You know, he's just, it's amazing the things he does in your life and the different things that happen and the places he takes you. And I'm amazing just, you know, coming in here and just seeing how he orchestrates everything together. It just blows my mind sometimes. I'm going to talk about praise today. And where did Linda go? She's done, went through the room, didn't she? I'm going to get her here in a minute. I'm going to have her share something with you that she shared with us back in the prayer room when we got ready to start. Like I said, I'm going to talk about praise today. And it's kind of funny because, like, when I was praying for God to tell me what he wanted me to say today, I sat down and I started praying. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you want to say? And I heard one word, praise. Okay, that's a pretty big subject. And I started waiting, and I'm waiting for God to, you know, tell me, where am I going to go with this? What am I going to say? And then I got to thinking, you know what? Valentine's Day is in 5 days. And I thought, and this is not a Valentine message or anything like that, but, you know, like, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, we spend a lot of time loving on people, and that's great. But, you know, sometimes I think God wants to be loved on, too, and when we praise him, that's loving on him. One of the things that I thought about was the lengths we go to when we have people that are special in our life, when we love them. And when it comes to Valentine's Day, traditionally, we think naturally about the natural people in our life that God has placed, whether it's our spouse, our husband, our wife, our moms or dads. I know, like, I don't know if my mother-in-law's in here right now. So, but, you know, we got stuff from my mother-in-law. We got stuff from my mom. And, you know, I get stuff from my kids just because I love them. And you know, I enjoy that. I love to bless people. And like, you know, we'll do things like we'll buy Valentine cards, flowers, presents, candies. I always tell Todd I like chocolates and flowers. I don't know where he's at, just so he knows. I like chocolates and flowers, which he knows that anyway. But, you know, we do all those things. We do all those special things, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's all good and it's all okay. And I think we should do those things, you know, because I think it pleases God when we show our love and affection to other people that he's placed in our lives, when we show our love and affection to our family and our friends. But I also think the Lord is telling me that God wants to be loved too. And I'm not saying that we don't love him. I know we love God, and I know we know how to praise him. But, you know, sometimes I think he says, you know, I want you to keep doing that. I want more of that. I enjoy that. It blesses me. It blesses God when we tell him that we love him, when we praise him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you something I do. I'm kind of going to give you a little bit of my testimony, and then I'm going to talk about why we praise God. And then I'm going to tell you the power that happens when we do praise God. So I'm kind of going to take it in like little steps. So if you wonder where I'm going, and, you know, I'm not saying anybody, you have to praise God in this way or in that way. I think God wants us all to be our own unique you. I'm just showing you what I do, what worked, you know, what clicks with me. Because, you know, we take sometimes, I think as Christians, we think that, you know, everybody just understands Christianity. And like, I know when I first came in, I didn't know what praise was. And so, you know, I'm going to go over some of this just for, you know, just to kind of, you know, give you an idea of how we praise God and just different things you can say and do. And just to kind of give an example for those that maybe don't know or those that might be listening on the podcast that really don't, you know, understand praise. When I'm at home, I have a place that I go to. Some people like to walk out in the woods. I have a little room that I go to pray. And I do this in my prayer time. And like I said, you know, I'm just going to kind of give an example of something that I do. This is kind of my testimony. I like to say that I'm the one that, like, created this, but I'm not. I kind of saw something of somebody else's, and then I thought, oh, that's good. I like that. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to you know, like revamp it a little bit and make it mine and do my own thing with it. And that's kind of what I did. And like one of the things I do, like when I go down to pray, you know, the first thing I do is you know, I pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then it's give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I always, not always, but a lot of times I got to stop right there. Because something's happened in the week or in the day, and God reminds me, you're upset about that. You're offended. Or, you know, we're human. We get our feelings hurt. It happens. And so I have to deal with that. And then I go on and I'll pray like the rest of it, you know. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That last statement is a praise. The kingdom of God is power. It changes our life. So when I do that, the next thing, you know, I do is I praise him. And, you know, the Bible says we enter his gates with thanksgiving, and then we enter his courts with praise. And I think about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Like, when you go in that gate, there's three places. There's an outer court, there's an inner court, and there's the Holy of Holy. And I think when we step in and we start praising God, even in the midst of trouble, because we all have things that we're fighting or that we're battling or that our loved ones are that we try to worry about. When we start entering into praise, I think what happens is those windows of heaven open up and we step deeper and deeper and deeper into the Holy of Holies. And I think we start pulling down blessings. So that's kind of why I'm going to talk about some of this. But I believe that, like, when we praise him, what we're actually doing is we're going into that powerful place. And then we start seeing, like, manifestations of God happening in our lives. Now, and like I say, I'm saying, you don't have to do this. This is just my routine. I like having things wrote down. That's just how I am. That's the nature of me. Not everybody does it that way. And I believe God wants you to be your own unique you. But I'm going to share with you this. What I do is, like, I went through the Bible and I found some things that the Bible says about God. And that helps me get a picture of who he is so I know how to praise him. And then I tell God who he is according to his word. Now, some of the things that I do, like, sometimes I just tell him, you know what, I love you, God, and I just worship and I just kind of sit alone. But at other times, like when I go in to pray and I'm praising God, sometimes I tell him things like, God, you're the Ancient of Days with eyes like a flaming fire. You're a jealous God. Your heart burns for jealousy for me. You know, the heart of God is burning with jealousy for us. You've graven me upon the palms of your hands. Your hands are still pierced. Your side is still wounded. You're the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. You're the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You store up the wealth of the wicked for the righteous. You hold the whole world in your hands. You hang the earth in the sky on nothing, and it exists there. It hangs there, the Bible says. It's amazing. You know, that's God's awesome. He never lies. I tell him, you don't lie, you don't sleep, you don't slumber. You watch over your beloved. You dispatch angels on behalf of your loved ones, those that you love. And then I tell God, you're a mighty, awesome, powerful God. Then I go into prayer, and I remind him what his word says. I say, Father, what man of you, if his son asked for a piece of bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would he give him a serpent? But you said to ask so that our joy would be full, that we may prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers, to ask and we shall receive. Because if we, being carnal, know how to give good things to our kids, how much more would our Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask of him? So he's a good God. And then what I do is I tell him what I need. I tell him the things I need, which he already knows. And I tell him my wants and I tell him my desires. You know, the Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, we can ask God for, you know, anything. We can take anything before him, any need, any want, any hurt. And then what I say is, you know, when I tell him all the things that I, you know, that I'm praying for, my family, my kids, things that I want to see happen in our life. Then what I do when I get done, I pray. I say, Father, I ask these things not just for my own needs and our own desires, but that is a part of it. I'm asking for that too. But I'm also asking so that others may see the blessing of God on our life and know that you're a good father, that it will be a witness to them, and that your name will be magnified in the earth through the blessing on our lives. God wants to bless our lives so that we're a witness to those who see us, because we should be different than the rest of the world. They should be, when they're broken, they should be looking at us and saying, I want something that they got. And, you know, when we praise God, that blesses him. I think that just opens up the windows of heaven. You know, when my kids come to me and they say something nice, I don't care if 10 minutes beforehand they were snotty. When they apologize and they give me a teary eye and they tell me they're sorry, and then they come over and say, Mom, I love you. You know what? I melt. I do. And my kids can ask me for something and I'm like, okay, have it. You know, Todd will probably tell you I am too much that way sometimes. But that's, you know, that's just the heart of a parent, and God is our Father. Now, like I said, you know, I'm not telling you all that, like how I pray, you know, to make you look anything at me, you know. But I want you to know that, like, if my kids come and talk to me like that, I would probably lose it. You know, and we can touch the heart of God, but now, I mean, don't just throw words. I mean, you want to be sincere. You want to give God your sincere heart. Find things that when you read his word, that reminds you of who he is, that speaks to you something God has put in your heart. Remind him of those things. That's how we praise him. Like, and I'm going to talk about another thing real quick. And I know as believers, we know how to praise him and how to worship him. And I know, like, Otis and Ivy, they taught a thing on worship one day where they talked, it's wonderful. I think it's, they may even have it on the podcast if you can find it. But they talk about a lot of things. They talk about different gestures, how you can worship God by jumping and dancing and shouting and clapping. When I have a friend of mine that's a missionary or an evangelist, I don't know what you call her. She operates in a lot of things. And she goes overseas, and she goes to places like Romania. She goes to the Bahamas and ministers. She goes to Israel, and she tells me the neatest thing about Israel. And I can't wait someday to go and see it. But she'll tell me, like, when you go there, you know, they're a whole different culture than us. You know, sometimes we get a little shy when it comes to worship and praise. We don't want, you know, people to look at us funny because we raise our hand, or, you know, or we don't want to distract somebody else. She said, when you go there and you're out in the streets, somebody will just sit down and they'll just start playing their guitar. They'll have their, you know, their instrument or whatever, and somebody else will just be walking by, and it's not planned or nothing, and they'll see that. And she said, they'll just be people just walk by, and they'll just start dancing and just start spinning around and just loving on God and just worshiping him. And then she said, out of nowhere, here comes other people, and they're bringing out flags, and they're just free. And we've got to be free to worship and praise him. You know, I think, you know, here at Bethel, I think we do, you know, we do worship God and we do praise him. Most of us probably know how to praise and worship the Lord. And what I'm going to talk about, I know praise is not the only way we can bless God. So I don't want to give that impression that if you're not, you don't praise this way, or you don't praise, you know, a certain way, that, you know, you're not blessing God. There's a lot of ways you can bless God. Praise is just one part of it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 7 reasons to bless the Lord. And then when I get to the end, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you about the power of God that happens when we praise. And then I'll have Tina play a little bit of a worship video, and we're going to see an example. Just, you know, and it's like I said, there's no set structure or order to it. But you know what? We are the people of God. We're the congregation here at this place that God has placed together. And we have to be there for one another. And what you're going to see in that video is a person calling in and another person praying for. So when the video is over, we're going to have a time of ministry, and we're going to do that. And you know, I may not pray like the woman on the video does. I'm, you know, the next person may not do the same thing. We don't all do everything the same, but I do believe we are all sincere. And Tammy has asked a few people to come up, and we're going to have a time of ministry. And if you're going through a hard time or you're fighting a battle and you need that intercession for you, or you just, you know, you need encouragement, or, you know, I want you to come up, because like I said, we're going to have several people up here, and then we're going to do that. But first, I'm going to give you seven reasons why we should bless the Lord and give him praise. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you about a Psalm of David. And I'm going to read this, and I'm choosing this one because we all know David wasn't perfect. How many of y'all know he's a great example of not being perfect? And I love that about the Bible, because you know what? It shows us the realness of God's people. It shows us that, you know what? We can make mistakes, and God still works with us. He don't just, you know, cast us off. David, you know, he wasn't perfect, but he was a man that God said was after his own heart. He knew how to worship God. He knew how to praise him. The Psalms of David are full of praise. I think there's a reason there's so much praise in the Bible, because I believe God wants our praise. So your key verse is going to be this first one. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Now, remember I said, like, when I pray, I tell him who he is. I do that because who he is a benefit to me. If I need healing, he's a healer. If I tell him things about healing, then I'm telling him I believe he's a healer. The next part of that psalm says, "Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction." That right there gets me, because I know where my life was when he found me, and I know where it is now. And I can definitely tell you, he brought my life from destruction. I can remember, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "I'd have fainted if I hadn't believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." The next part says, "Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." You know, in the book of Job, like I said, I know we all have, you know, different battles that we go through. But, you know, in the book of Job, there's a scripture. I think it's at the end of chapter, it's 22, 28, and 29. If you read it in the King James Version, it says, he'll deliver the island of the innocent by the cleanness of your hands. And that word island, you know, it really didn't jump out at me. But I read it in another translation one day, and this is how it reads. "He will deliver the one for whom you intercede for, who is not innocent. Yeah, he'll deliver him by the cleanness of your hands." That's a pretty powerful promise. And, you know, I know a lot of us probably have kids or brothers and sisters or relatives that are maybe outside of that ark of, you know, of safety. And our prayers matter. And like another one too, like, you know, he even died on the cross while we were yet sinners. So, you know, I think a lot of times the devil kind of tries to hit us up when we are interceding for our family. Well, we think that God's hands are tied and he can't do nothing because they're not right and they're not living right and they're not perfect. I know there's times when because like the children of Israel turned back and limited the Holy One. I get that. But you know what? I think there are times when, you know what, God is merciful too. And even though they're making mistakes, your prayers matter, and your praise matters, and God knows when you're at that place and you're praying and you're interceding for them, and you just don't see anything happening, but you just keep on praising, and God still knows that. He still honors that, and you keep watching, and you'll see him moving in it. The next part of that psalm says, "Who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And then the next one is, "The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Are there anyone here today that's going through oppression or depression or battling anything in your family, at work, sickness, health? The Bible calls sickness an oppression of the devil. And Jesus is our healer. There's a lot of reasons why we ought to praise him. And you got to know that when we actually do, you know, it blesses him. David said, I'll bless the Lord with all that's within me. He worshiped, he danced, and he also knew how to praise. You guys remember the movie War Room? How many of you guys in here saw that? There's several of you have seen it. Okay. Remember the lady that was in there and you know, that she was interceding for that family? You notice how she prayed? And I'm not saying there's, you know, a set way you got to pray these certain words or those certain words. I think sometimes, like, because when I first got saved, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to praise. I didn't know how to do those things. I learned from two ways. One, the Holy Ghost showed me some stuff. And two, I learned it from seeing and hearing other believers. And we're what trains up that next generation or those new believers that come in. So we can't be shy in our praise and worship, because we need to get, you know, to the battlefield and be able to war for our family and fight. Okay, now I said I was going to give you those seven reasons. So here they are. Number one is God forgives our sins. He forgives all our sins is what's in that part there. It says he not only forgives our sin, but he removes them from the equation. In Colossians 2, it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against you, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. That alone should be our reason for praising him. We don't have to face eternity lost. Number two is he heals all our diseases. When sickness comes at him, we have his word. We have his name that the Bible says is above all names. Cancer is a name. Diabetes is a name. And I know we battle those things, but we've really got to dig in his word. When we're battling, we got to stop settling for everything the enemy throws at us. And I'm guilty. I admit it. There are times when I settle for things, in Matthew 4:23, it says, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He cleansed and healed lepers. In Acts 10, it says, 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Remember, I told you, healing in the Bible, it says, is an oppression of the devil. Luke 16:19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue from him, and he healed them all. Most of the time, when we think about someone touching him, we think of the one woman who touched him in the crowd of nobody else. But right here, it says he healed them all. Israel, when they came out of bondage, he brought them out with no sick among them. Their shoes didn't even wear out. I think sometimes we forget how awesome and mighty he is. You know, the Bible says he doesn't change. In Malachi, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob aren't consumed. The third one is he redeemed our life from destruction. This is the one I said was me, because my life was falling apart before my eyes when I first came to the Lord. And part of it, I didn't know. I wasn't fully into that destructive lane. I mean, it was happening, but it was like in the beginning stages. The farther the closer I got to the Lord, the more I was seeing where the enemy had my life ready to just destroy it. You know, I remember I went into a church one time, and I remember a pastor friend of mine coming up to me, and I rarely missed church back then, and I still don't miss it much. And I can remember him coming up to me and saying that, how do I want to say this? He prayed, if I can remember exactly how he said it, he prayed, Lord, why can't my life be like hers? She's always happy, doesn't seem to have any major things going on. But the more I got to know them and the more God kind of drawed my life with his and his wife, the more they got to know me, he told me one time later about praying that. And then he said, you know, after I got to know you, I told God I was sorry. And I said, I thank you, God, that you did not answer that prayer and make my life more like hers, because I had no idea. We don't know what somebody else is going through. We don't know their battles. But that's where I was. He you know, the enemy really meant to just rip my life apart. But the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And what the enemy meant to destroy in my life, God completely changed. I thought my whole life was just destroyed when I got divorced. I thought, you know, I can't even hold my family together. I can't even keep my, you know, kids' family in one home. I felt like I failed my kids, and I couldn't do nothing about any of it. I thought, my kids will never have a family life. They'll never have a home life. And, you know, all the things that I thought I lost, God gave me back. And he moved in things in my life. I never dreamed that, you know, when I was going through that I'd be where I am today. And I hope that 10 years from now, I look back, and my life's pretty good right now. I'm not saying anything, you know, bad. But I hope I look back in 10 years from now, and I think the same thing, like, wow, God brought me here, you know? Because that's what he does. I mean, he's awesome. The fourth one is he crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy. I think this is kind of interesting because, you know, I think there, and I know not everybody, you know, feels that way, but there are people who feel like God's angry at them. Like God's just waiting around to crown them in the back of the head with a ball bat. And that's not God's heart. He crowned them with loving kindness. Listen to this scripture. It's Isaiah 54, 9 through 10. It says, "For this is as the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more cover the earth, so I have sworn." Now listen, this is what he swears. "That I would not be wroth with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed from you, says the Lord that has mercy on you." We have his mercy. And then the last part of that says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children." It trickles down the bloodline. It trickles down your family. The fifth one is that he satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. And, you know, in this culture, in this country, there's a lot. And I think it's everywhere, too. But, you know, we see a lot of stuff happening here. There's a lot of unsatisfaction. But Jesus said, "He that drinks of the water that I give shall never thirst." He satisfies our mouth with good things. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, "The inward man is renewed day by day." The more I learn, the better I can fight against the enemy that fights against me. The more I praise, the more defeat that the enemy faces when I praise him. And then the last one is he makes known his ways and his will to us. John 16:13 says, "However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. For he leads us, he guides us, and he helps us in our times of trouble." So he's, you know, these are all reasons why we praise him. He's worthy to be praised. The things he does in our life for every one of us, he's worthy for us to be, you know, praise, give him, you know, the praise, to give him adoration. I love it when my husband gives me words, you know, words of encouragement and says nice things to me. There's a book Rob had us read when we first got married, and it was, I'm trying to think of the name of it, The Five Love Languages. And it's really funny because, like, now like mine is touch. I like holding hands and quality time. I think I tied in those two. That's who I am. That's what I am. Now Todd, on the other hand, is words of affirmation. It makes him feel good when you give him words of affirmation, when you encourage him, when you say, you know, "Hey, I appreciate that thing you did." I think a lot of men, I think that's common actually with a lot of men. It's encouraging when their wife tells them or you know, that, you know, special person, whether it's their mom or whoever, tells them that they've done something good. I think God is the same way, because we're created in the image of likeness of God. So if it blesses us, then I think it blesses God too. I said I was gonna give you at the end, you know, a little example of how all that praise does tie into the power of God. When we blow the shofars during the service, during the worship, you know, we blow them at the start, but every once in a while, you'll notice those shofars will blow during the actual worship. When people are playing music, you'll hear somebody pick up, you know, one of the shofar team pick up the shofar and blow it. When they do that, what's actually happening is there's a victory shout that's being proclaimed in our worship. The walls of Jericho came down when they blew the shofar and the people shouted. I'm going to tell you something that's like really neat, because whenever back years ago, we used to go to the memorial run, and I would ride on a motorcycle with them. And when we got there, you know, I didn't know how everything works. There's like, if you've ever been to the memorial run in Pomeroy, there is a ton of motorcycles there. And I can remember being amazed by that. And it, what surprised me, though, was because they said that they didn't let us start all the bikes up at one time. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And there was a lot of us there. I don't know if they do that every year or if it was just that one. And so I asked somebody, why are they doing that? And he said, and I don't know, like, how true it is, but this is what they told me, and it made sense, and I understood. But they told me, because if you started all those bikes at one time, the rumble of all those bikes would affect the ground. And you see those buildings right over there? It could affect the structure of those buildings. Now, like I said, I don't know what the truth to that is, but when I think about that, and then I think about the story of Jericho, you know, I think about, you know, here's these people, they're walking around, and then they blow the trump, and these people shout. You know, and I guess before that, you know, I guess, you know, when I would hear that story, I always thought, you know, God just miraculously made it fall down. But then I wonder now, is it that God just miraculously made them fall? Or did the people shout affect the earth, the land? Was their praise that powerful? Or maybe was it a combination of both, that their praise moved the hand of God, that everything happened and it shook the earth? Or that, you know, I wonder what caused, how, you know, how did that their shout affect it? Because when we go through trouble and we go through trials or we go through a hard time, that's what I think happens. I think when we're battling it, I think the enemy is just fighting us, and then we start praising God and we're no longer thinking about that. And I think the window of heaven above us just opens up, and it's like, okay, here's my blessing. I'm going to reach up and pull that down. I might not see it like happening in that moment, but it happens. I think there are times when we think that because we don't see it happening right at the moment we're praising God, that we think our praise isn't really that effective, but it is. There's something that when I was going through all that, I had a really bad week one time, and I felt really, really crushed. And you ever have something really bad happen in your life, and you go through a long battle, and it's just like, you just get like slammed really hard by the enemy, and you feel so weak that your physical body is just drained. You don't have strength. I came into church like that one day, and I can remember walking in, and like I said, I didn't miss church much, and I remember the minister that day looked at me, and he knew what was going on in my life, and he's like, wow, I did not expect to see you here today. I thought, what? It was kind of an odd, but you know, he's just like, he told me, he's like, no, I know what you've been through this week, and I don't know how you're doing it, but you know, sometimes, you know, that's just how God is. He holds us up in those things. But when I came in there, I was so weak, I was so drained, and I played drums on the worship team, and so, you know, I went through the whole worship service, and what was really funny is he's like, well, since you're here, you gonna sing a song, because I sang every week there. And I said, yeah, I brought one. And let me tell you, it was probably one of the worst times I've sang, because I was so physically just exhausted. I had a hard time holding key. I just had a hard time just even standing there. All I wanted to do was just go sit and cry. And so I got up and I sang this song. And the song I sang is kind of like what I call my kick the devil in the butt song. And when you start off, it's I took the challenge when I said that I would stand, and I knew it wouldn't be an easy thing because it messed up Satan's plan. But God gives me daily strength to stand in victory. Even though the powers of hell might come against me, greater is he in me. And then the chorus part of that song sings about greater is he in me, the one that's in me. And I'm in an army that doesn't know any defeat because God didn't lose any battles. He don't lose any. So that's another reason why we can praise him. Because when he's fighting for us, he don't lose. The only time that we lose is when we step out away from him. Now, I know things happen in life that we don't understand, and I get that. But, you know, when I went into that service, I went in totally devastated, distraught, messed up. Just couldn't hardly. When I sang, I didn't see anything happen. I didn't feel anything different. But something happened when I praised him, because it was like reaching up into the heavens and pulling out that blessing. And what was unique was when I got done, I sat down, and then the minister got up to minister. And I guess it because he knew what was going on in my life and the song that I chose, you know, I guess it charged him, and he just got excited. And he says, you know, if you can get up and praise God when you're going through what she's went through this week, you know the devil's got to be running fierce. You know it's got to shake up his kingdom when you do that. And when he started talking, like I said, I didn't feel nothing and I didn't see nothing when I praised him. But when he started talking, something happened to me and that blessing came. It didn't come the moment I was praising. It came a short time afterwards. But you know what? My praise changed the way I felt. And when I walked out, I didn't walk out the same way I did when I came in. I walked out. I had joy. I was laughing. I was happy. And I didn't have that coming in. I could barely walk coming in. I was just you know, drugged down and beat down. And that's how our praise can pull down the enemy. When we're going through things, our praise has the power to knock down the walls that the enemy has set up around us. Let's see. And one of the things that, you know, I just want to, you know, say again, like, it's not about saying all the right words and doing all the right things. It's about the sincerity of the heart. You don't have to say what I say, you know, like in the little prayer thing that I was telling you I do. You don't have to do what I do. This is what works for me. This is what stimulates me. You got to be your own unique you and find out how what works for you. Because you know what? It's funny because Todd came home the other day, and I did actually miss church the other day, and I kind of wimped out. I'm just going to be honest. I did. And, you know, I had been sick. I had a fever for like 4 days. And I was just kind of coming over that. And, you know, when you've been sick, your body's just tired and weak, and you're kind of sluggish. And then Taylor started getting sick, and I thought, you know, it's Sunday. I don't want to make other people sick. I don't want to drag her out. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with her. And so I decided to come home or stay home. So Todd comes home from church, and the funny thing is, you know, he's telling me about how great the service was. And I'm like, man. And he says, we had a prophetic word. And I'm like, awesome. What was it? He's like, God said, where's my worshipers? And you know what happened to me? It was like he just punched me in the gut. I was like, oh, because I was one of them. And I knew that, you know what I mean? But we do that. We make mistakes. But, you know, I do think, you know, I don't think it's coincidence that God said that the other day. And today he's saying, I want my people to praise me. I think there's a reason that he does that. And you know, the Bible says he called us. He called us to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. I'm going to ask Tina to go ahead and play just a short little video. And like I said, we're going to have a moment of prayer. If you're having a hard time, if you've been struggling with things, this is what we're here for. We're a family. We're here to intercede for one another. We worship together. We pray together. We praise together. We help each other through their hurts. We, you know, in the Bible, remember they lifted up, was it Moses's? No, wait a minute. Was it Moses's arms, I believe? They lifted his arms up. That's what we do for each other. We're all family here. And this is all part of who we are at Bethel and what we do. And so if you're struggling with things, we're going to take the remainder of the time and we're just going to minister to you. And Tammy's got some people that's going to come up, and we're going to just be the church. And like when we come in and not just in here, we got to praise God, not just in here on Sunday. And I know most of us probably do, but you know, find that time. Even if all you got is a minute, give God a minute's worth of praise. Give him your minute, and who knows, maybe next time he'll give you more time, because God can change your schedule around and make things fit. So just take that time and really just be with him. When we get up and we have a worship service during the service, don't be afraid to step out in the aisle and worship God. You know, Todd and I, we go every once in a while to like a special service, like a conference or something like that. And I tell Todd when we go, if it's crowded and I see a lot of people and they're backed back, I'm like, don't you cram me in the middle of an aisle where I can't move, because I need to praise my God. I don't want to be stuck where I can't raise, you know, my hand because it's so crowded. You find me an in aisle and I want on the end, because I might want to step out in the aisle and wave my hands. I might want to move and I might want to dance. You know, I don't care if I look stupid. Praise God if I look stupid. I don't care. He meets my needs. He touches every part of me that needs healing, whether it's a physical healing or an emotional healing. He's my God, and he meets every need that I have. He's worth being praised. And I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of, sometimes it's like, I'll go to a place and I'm like, well, they might not praise God like that, but it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. You know, now I know we don't want to, you know, cause a disruption in a church. I get that. But we should be able to praise him. It shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be a fearful thing. So anyway, like I said, I'm going to let her play this video. And, you know, we're just going to have a time of ministry. And like I said, watch the power that this woman has when she prays. She spent some time learning how to pray. I had to spend some time to learn how to pray. And sometimes I take things that other people do and I say, when I find out and I like it, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. Boy, there's some power in that. I might want to use that. And then sometimes I might critique it and make it my own. And sometimes I might not use it at all. Find what works for you. Find a way that you can talk with God and that you can communicate with him, and then praise him and let him know how good you think he is. Okay, Tina, I'm ready. I'm going to let you go ahead and do that. And like I said, when it's done, if those of you who Tammy has had come, who's asked to come forward, when the video ends, just go ahead and come on up. And then if you're feeling like you're struggling with something, it's been a rough week, whatever, just come up and let us pray with you. And let us just reach out to God for you.
Well, what did he say? Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, see, I told you, Elizabeth, I told you that God would fight for you. Oh, Jesus. All right, baby, I'll talk to you soon. Oh, devil, you just got your butt kicked. My God is faithful, and my God is powerful, and my God is in charge. You can't fire him. And he'll never retire. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. My God is good. My God is good. And he's faithful. He did.
Ain't that awesome, though? She could just, you know, she can just get up there and just, you know, be so happy that, you know. And, you know, if we looked at all the things God has done in our life, we could probably say a lot of the same things she did, because I know God has done some awesome things in here, you know. But anyway, like I said, we're gonna give you a time. If those of you who Tammy have asked to come up, I know Eddie, anyone else, Tammy's asked to come up to pray. Like I said, we're just gonna open this up. And if you have anything that you're going through, you know, that you want to get prayer for, or if you just need a, you know, a direction from the Lord, you need a, you know, a word, whatever you need, don't be afraid to ask God for it. And we're just gonna be standing here, and we're just gonna intercede for you, and we're gonna pray with you, and just be there for each other. So, if there's anything that anybody has, just like I said, just feel welcome to come up and pray.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I trust you've been blessed by this anointed message from our special guest today. As we strive to accomplish our mission, connecting people to God, our podcast is a vital tool in our efforts. If you've been inspired by this message and would like more information about Bethel, please visit us at bethelwc.org. And remember, love never fails.